Welcome into bonus episode number 06. On this bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, I am joined by Casey Spivey of Screen Rant, and she also plays Daenerys in Game of Thrones the Musical, and my good friend of many years, Brandon, phoning in from Boston. And we discuss our top five Game of Thrones moments. Our top five moments from Game of Thrones, the series. I just want to tell you, spoilers are coming. If you are not caught up through season 7 of Game of Thrones, make sure you tune out now and do not listen to this episode until you are caught up, because it is filled with spoilers. Please enjoy this bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. All right, guys, we got another bonus episode for you. This is bonus episode number 06. I started with this song because I feel like this is like Khaleesi's song every time she gets on the dragon. The topic, maybe it's Jon Snow's song, I don't know. The topic of the bonus episode today is the top five moments from the television series Game of Thrones. Top five Game of Thrones moments. I got two very special guests joining me for this, a little roundtable discussion on what our favorite moments from the series are. First, let me introduce, I had to have her on. I mean, she, you know, is Daenerys in Game of Thrones the Musical. She's Khaleesi. She's been on the show before twice, right, Casey? You've been on twice.
Yeah.
She came on and filled in for Andy a couple times, and then she was on with Andy and I back on episode 20. She's the mother of dragons. She's the queen. I cannot get her to ride her dragon from California to North Carolina to be on the show, though, so we have to do Skype. But Miss Casey Spivey, how are you? Thanks for coming back.
Hi. It's so good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're the best. I really appreciate you doing this on short notice, too, but I figured if we're talking Game of Thrones, you're in, so I appreciate you being here. Tell everybody real quick, too. I'm going to bring in my buddy who's joining us as well. But before I do that, some huge news for you and for Game of Thrones the Musical. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. And we are going to Broadway. Well, we're going to Off-Broadway.
Yeah, well, that's a little something.
But it is on the street Broadway. It's on 50th and Broadway. Absolutely, yeah. So we'll be in New York City in October. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I'll just go ahead and say it.
Nobody listens to us.
Depending on ticket sales, we might be there longer than October, but I don't know yet. So I will be playing Daenerys, but there are also other nights where I'll be playing different characters. And
I thought that was interesting. It's just because it's like a limited cast and you guys are kind of all just doing whatever.
So the original run had two casts, and so we got to take breaks and all that kind of stuff. This time around, we can't bring everybody, which is sad. So I'm swinging a lot. So I'm gonna learn all of the female parts, and we're gonna just rotate around and give each other breaks and all that kind of stuff.
So you'll be doing a little Arya, you'll be doing a little Sansa.
I was doing Arya, Sansa, Catelyn.
Nice. What about, you're not going to do Cersei, are you? Don't do Cersei.
I'm going to learn Cersei.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I'm going to do her or not.
I understand. All right, so let's bring in our third P, if you will, here for the bonus episode for the Game of Thrones moments. Super fan and also a super friend of mine. We're super friends. But buddy of mine named Brandon, he's phoning in from Boston. Brandon, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? You know, that brings a tear to my eye thinking about, Super Friend, the little pact we have there.
I know. That's me and you, man. We're Casey, please don't be a third wheel today. Me and Brandon will get off on a whole, like, gay love thing, and you'll be left out.
Casey,
if you guys are running low on actors, too, Gerald plays a great Reek.
Oh, perfect. I don't think Reek is in the show, so we should throw him in.
Yeah. Well, Gerald, he nails it every time.
Dress rehearsal's real easy for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brandon's folded in from Boston. We got Casey over there in L.A. L.A. woman, as I played last time you were on the show, doing a lot of stuff out there in Hollywood. You know, big time stuff. She's on Screen Rant. She's the Game of Thrones of musical. And then
I'm now doing Wizard Magazine. That's coming back.
I saw that. I read your article last night, actually, about Batgirl. Saw that.
Thank you. I don't know. I felt like I was going to get a lot of, like, disagreeing things,
No, not at all. Yeah, women's empowerment thing right now, especially with the Wonder Woman and James Cameron and all that controversy. I mean, that's a big thing right now. You're not going to get a lot of pushback there. And I think it's I think it's a great thing. Brandon, you're not doing shit, are you? You don't have anything. you're just being my friend and just being here for me. So I appreciate that. But
there's a chance I may be walking down Broadway in October.
There you go. Well, me too. Now that I fucking heard that.
Guys, well, I'm probably going to do I think I'll have two tickets to give away, so I'll probably do like a giveaway.
Let's do it.
Thing. Yeah. So I might have a promo code or something, so we'll get you guys should definitely come see.
No, absolutely. I'm trying to figure out if this show, when my wife listens back, cuz she listens to all the shows, I'm trying to figure out if this should be the introduction to her for me begging her to let me go or if I should ask her in advance. So I don't know. So in case she's hearing it for the first time, honey, I really want to go to New York in October. I really want to see Game of Thrones the musical. So let's try to figure that out. She's a big fan of the show too.
So. Obviously she should come along. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She's a big fan of the show too. So I think I could maybe talk her into that.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll come back. We'll wrap around at the end and we'll recap and talk about everything. But I want to jump right into our top five Game of Thrones moments. I got to put in a little sound effect there when I go back and edit the show. So let's see. Casey, you're the lady. So I'm going to let ladies first. I do that. I'm a gentleman. You know, you know that.
What a guy. What a guy.
You know that. So I'm going to let you go first. What is your number five moment or scene from Game of Thrones, the series? What do you got?
Number five, season one, episode six, where Viserys gets his golden crown. He's the first character that I was really happy to see go because I did not like him. And I loved how they did that.
Yeah, no, he was not good to his sister. He was not good to you.
Exactly.
The version of you on
and I love
show.
Khaleesi, so I know.
We got to talk
about justice.
I'll let Brandon talk about it in a second because I don't know if he's the minority, but the only reason, I mean, not the only reason, but one of the main reasons I watch the show is to see her get the Iron Throne, Khaleesi.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm Khaleesi 2020, you know what I mean? I'm all about her, and I know you are as well because you have a connection there. Brandon, we'll swing it over to you for number five and let you give your little take on it there, buddy. What's your number five?
I thought I was going to comment on that.
You can, and then give us your number five. Go ahead.
You know, I got to say, he's definitely a prick, that guy. And I was a little disappointed in the season finale when they showed Rhaegar. He kind of looked a lot like him, don't you think?
He did.
I was like, yeah. Wait.
He kind of looked too much like him, and it didn't make me like him.
Yeah, he
did. No, I was immediately very confused because I was like, wait, I thought his name was Viserys. And I was like, wait, what is happening?
And I thought of that too. But that wasn't the same actor, right? I mean, it couldn't have been the same actor.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. They just looked very similar.
Yeah, they looked a lot alike. I agree with that 100%.
Like the body type too. Like you could have gotten somebody, even if you use the same wig, like get somebody that's like bigger or something different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's too close when I thought it was the same actor. I like look at my wife. I'm like, is that the guy that played the Golden Crown kid?
Yeah, I know.
And we looked it up and realized it wasn't. But yeah, I agree with you there, Brandon. What's your number five, brother?
Well, you know, you didn't give really criteria. So you said just top five moments. So the way I looked at these is that I just wanted to kind of go back to how I felt when I seen that scene for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go season four, episode 10. And it's when Tyrion is freed by Jaime when he's in the cell and he's going to be executed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm talking about that is he was, first of all, everyone loves Tyrion. You might have your favorite characters, but there's nobody that dislikes Tyrion.
That's true.
And he was freed and then decided that he was going to go up to his father's chambers. And he goes up there, he kills his whore, and then he's dragging that crossbow. And I'm like, get the fuck out of there. Like, it was a very tense moment. And I thought he was going to get killed because he had a chance to leave and he didn't. He hung around too long, but, you know, he ended up shooting his dad on the toilet with the crossbow. So,
that's right, yep.
I thought that was a pretty tense moment.
So is the moment for you, in that whole series, is it like him killing his dad or is it him being freed by Jaime? What's the bigger thing to you?
I mean, killing the dad, you know, Tywin was a huge character and love or hate him. He was, he played an awesome role in the show. So
I get that. That
was, it was tense. I didn't know. He was sitting there. I didn't know if he was going to pull the trigger on the crossbow or if someone was going to come up behind him. But he killed his dad, man.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day, brother.
Happy Father's Day.
All right. So my number five. You guys ready for my number five?
Yes.
I keep thinking somebody's going to be like, no, I don't want to fucking hear your number five. But my number five is the most recent moment. And I can tell you a little bit about why I connected with it personally. But it's from season seven. So the most recent season, episode four. It is the scene and the sequence action sequence when basically it's Jamie and Bronn versus Daenerys and her dragon when she fucking comes and wrecks shop and attacks the Lannister army. That's my number five. The reason being, I mean, from just a show perspective is because, I mean, yes, I know she when she released the slaves and stuff, but since the whole she started kind of moving towards King's Landing, this is the first time when she was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to go, fucking kill everyone. Because, you know, Tyrion and everybody's trying to get her to be diplomatic and like, you know, she never was really big on taking the, you know, most violent approach. But you can see here that she just kind of snapped, for lack of a better way to put it. She's kind of like the new Taylor Swift album. That's kind of the version of version of her here. And she just showed up and, you know, the dragon just basically took out the entire army. And then also what I loved about that scene and that sequence is Bronn, who I love. He's one of my favorite characters. How he
Bronn.
Yeah.
I don't really like Bran.
Oh, yeah. But I like Bronn, you know, he's Jamie's right-hand man or whatever, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. And he gets what they call it, the scorpion weapon, right? Isn't that what they named it?
Yeah, scorpion.
Yeah, the scorpion that cranks the arrows and it's considered the only real thing that can take down a dragon. Of course, we find out that's not the case. But anyway, he hits the dragon. They have this whole fierce battle. You're not sure, kind of like what you said about Tyrion, Brandon. You're not sure if Bronn maybe is going to meet his end here because everybody else there is dying. Same thing with Jamie. You think maybe, wow, is Jamie Lannister going to die? This is how he's going to die. And then he's charging Dany, and you don't know. Maybe Dany's going to die. You don't know what the hell's going on. And the dragon's injured. And then at the very end, you know, Bronn rescues Jamie. They dive into the lake or whatever there, and the episode just fades to black. And that 10 or 15 minute sequence that I'm describing, I'm just like staring at. I had to watch it on my laptop and my sister's, and I'm just literally like fucking just in awe the whole time. And it helped that I'm such a big fan of Khaleesi's because she was wrecking shop there. So that's my number five. Didn't mean to get long-winded. You guys dig that scene?
You know, I got to make a confession here, and I'm ashamed to say this. Hopefully I don't get arrested if HBO hears this. But when that episode got hacked and released, I watched it. I couldn't wait till Sunday to watch it.
This guy.
And I the only way I could get it was on my iPhone. So I sat there on a Friday night. I drank a bottle of wine, and I watched that episode on my iPhone in the dark.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the full effect of the battle at the time. So I'm very upset with myself that I just didn't wait till Sunday and watch it.
You should be.
So I don't think I got the full effect of that.
You should be.
No.
Casey, get somebody on the phone and I'll give you Brandon's address. Get somebody over there.
I know. I watched the finale like on a projector with like surround sound.
There
like
you
that's
go.
How I like to watch
there
it.
There you go. I mean, my favorite episode from this season. I mean, there was two or three really, really good episodes. But I just love that sequence. And like I said, that was her like swan song. We've been waiting, you know, 6.5 seasons for her to just fucking do that. And she did it.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Wasn't it Olenna who really like planted that scene? Olenna was like, be a dragon. And she was like, okay.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. She kind of maybe pushed her a little bit over the edge there. All right, so let's wrap right up.
How did you feel about Jamie swimming the length of a lake in full armor?
Yeah, I know. I guess maybe. I mean,
that was a little weird, wasn't it?
It was. I guess maybe Bronn dragged him a little bit too. Well, you know, what I'm learning is since they got past the books, which for me, I'm great. I mean, because now I don't have to hear all the people like, oh, well, the book said this and the comma's out of place, you know, and all that shit. So I'm okay with it, but you can see how they're kind of speeding things along to get through the last 12 or whatever it is that they have, you know. So I'm okay with that because. Yeah, I'm okay with it, but you're right. You can kind of see some things that don't really make sense. We might touch on
it. Maybe Jamie's a great swimmer. We don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. All right, let's wrap back around to our number four moment. Casey, you're up. What's your number four from the series?
Okay, let me look at my list. Number four is, when John's season 6, episode 2, when Jon Snow comes back.
Okay, when he comes back to life. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's like a typical one, and it's on like every list, but...
It's a big one.
I mean, maybe I should say that it was the episode before when we didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I think that was important for the storytellers, for us as an audience to go, would they do it?
Right.
Would they kill a main character? Because then that makes us have doubt and it makes us more interested. Because if we know that all the heroes are, you know, superheroes and they can't be they can't be killed, then like, why would we watch it? But I think that was really important for us to go, anything could happen.
Well, that's a big one because that whole off season, so in between the end of season five, right, when he died, until season six started, which of course in HBO years is like a fucking 2 years in between seasons. But that whole time it was just all because everything's kept secret unless you're Brandon on your phone. But you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And you're like, is he dead? Everybody assumes he's dead. Cause I mean, people die, you know, and obviously he suffered a death. So, they would have to incorporate some kind of magic or something there to make that happen, which they did. But I mean, you're right. That was a big one. The only thing for me is, I guess maybe I kind of saw it coming a little bit. Like I didn't really, I don't know. I guess I didn't really accept that he was dead. I kind of thought he would find his way back onto the show somehow. So I wasn't like as blown away. Now, I will remember when he died, and I don't know if that's going to be on anybody's list, so I don't want to ruffle any feathers. But when he was killed on the show, I remember like all these memes that came out of people just like, I'm fucking never watching it again. You know, there's videos of people, I think actually Brandon, I think one of them was in Boston actually, but a guy in Boston like picked up his flat screen TV and like threw it in the recycling bin out by out the street.
That was me.
That was you. Yeah. He's like, I'm never watching this again, you know.
But so, that's what you want as a storyteller. Right. You want people to be that passionate.
Right.
I mean, imagine if like the whole time only lame people died. I mean, it's just like, you know, you gotta create some fear.
Yeah.
And that's how you make stakes happen. But yeah, I love that they did that.
Yeah, this
and show. It's now starting to make sense as his character too, because I'm like, okay, if he's a dragon, and does that mean that that's why he came back? Like, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah, and the show and George R. R. Martin specifically in the novels is not afraid to kill people no matter how important they are. So we started to kind of learn that obviously from the very beginning, which may show up on some list. But Brandon, you're up, buddy, with your number.
Well,
four.
Hey, before we go ahead, spoiler alert. I know you said, Casey, that you know it was the episode he was brought back to life, but it may have been like the episode before.
Yeah,
and I don't want to give anything away, but Geralt's favorite moment in the entire series is actually that episode before he's brought back to life when the Red Witch reveals herself to a true form. I know Geralt has a few of those pictures in his phone.
Well, I have a thing for 117-year-old women, so.
Right.
That was an interesting thing to watch.
She fit right into my niche, bro. You should see her in a bikini, at least word of the imagination. All right, what's your number four moment there, Brandon?
All right. Well, you know what? I'm gonna go Tyrion again. And it's season two, episode nine. You know, episode nines are usually the best of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we didn't have one this year. But the Battle of Blackwater. And, you know, that was pretty an intense scene from start to finish. You know, on one side we had Stannis and Davos coming on the ships to attack King's Landing, and then you had Joffrey, who is probably the most hated character in the history of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're rooting for them to kill Joffrey, but at the same time, you got Tyrion over there, you have Bronn, you have the Hound, you have all these great characters and Sansa was there in King's Landing. You didn't want to see anything bad happen to them,
right?
But you wanted Joffrey taken down, and then out of nowhere, Tyrion fucking sends out the wildfire and fucking blows them up.
Yeah.
And that was pretty intense. They came in with the drums and then out of nowhere that explosion. That was an awesome scene. That's when I first was like, the show is going places that I've never seen a TV show go before.
That was good. And you know what? Whenever Tyrion's in danger, it's a better episode because I gotta be honest with you. I love Tyrion just like you said, and I feel like he's obviously a fan favorite. But I did not expect him to still be alive. I got to be honest. Like, I thought he would be one of those characters they would kill off because he's in so many precarious situations where you would think in real life he wouldn't survive. But he stuck through, man. That was one of the pivotal scenes that proved that. So I agree with you there, but a good choice. Whose turn is it? My turn? It's my turn, right? Yeah, okay, my turn. All right, so my turn is my number four is from season five, episode eight, The Battle at Hardhome. Most specifically, the Night King's kind of Michael Jackson thing that he does at the end where he raises his arm and the entire village that he just murdered basically comes back, you know, turns into White Walkers. And the reason I like that scene more than any, well, really, to be honest with you, with the exception of this season when they had the ice battle, the only scene that I really like enjoy the White Walkers because I feel like it really showed their power for the first time. On that show, it was just kind of talked about and they were just kind of like zombies roaming around that, you know, I mean, yeah, you need Dragon Glass, but if you can get a hold of Dragon Glass or Fire, you could pretty much take them out because they're kind of stupid. Whereas the Night King is obviously kind of like a mad genius, and he is growing that army. And then we see how that came to fruition a little bit at the end of the finale this season. But that whole scene and the way it ends is just so haunting, because I don't know if you guys remember, but to my knowledge, that's the only episode that ends with like no music. So literally the Night King is staring down Jon Snow, and they just have like a 90-second thing where they're just staring at each other while Jon Snow's ship is floating away in the water, because, you know, the White Walkers don't go in the water. And all you can hear is just the wind and the waves, and it just fades to black with the Night King just looking at him like, what now, motherfucker? Like, we're coming for you.
Yeah, shit got real there.
Yeah, yeah. So that that gave me chills, that scene. You know, and I think the creators were able to kind of put us in Jon Snow's shoes there, and we kind of got a little bit of what he would have been feeling in real time there. So
There's a connection between the Night King and Jon Snow, and we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are speculating. I seen an article that I don't know if we're going to end up touching on, but let's get I'm fucking the worst host. Whose turn is it?
Mine.
It's yours, right? You're number three. Right? Yeah, you're number three, Casey. What do you got?
Yeah, mine are, and you're not the worst host.
Thank you.
There's worse. I'm just kidding.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
Okay, my number three, which could easily be number one or two, is season one, episode 10, when Daenerys comes out of the fire.
She's
now
keep
mother
talking
of dragons. Obviously, that's on my list. I'm sure it's on y'all's list.
Keep talking. Love it. Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about Khaleesi in season one, because it's like as a woman, it's like, okay, like it's very convenient that she's naked all the time, but right. Also like poetically and as a writer and as like an enthusiast for literature, it's very symbolic and beautiful, and like it's a part of life and it's a part of fantasy, and it's like, and now like season seven, I like miss that about her.
Right, yeah, you're not alone. Trust me.
I'm like, I should be like glad that she's wearing a turtleneck, but like I'm not. Right, like I don't know, because I don't know. There is something just very like poetic about her being completely vulnerable and also finding power in that, and getting through the ashes, literally. And so it's definitely a poetic
Gerald, moment. Those are your thoughts when she's naked too, right, Gerald?
I mean, absolutely.
Poetic.
No, actually,
problem. That's my complex. It's like, I see it as poetry, but it's like, for most people, it's not.
It makes sense in context too. It's always weird when nudity is there and doesn't really make any sense, you know, but it makes sense for most of the scenes I mean, you know, if not Khaleesi, obviously, but they have scenes with in the brothel and that kind of thing. So it always kind of makes sense when they have nudity on that show. But, you know, if Khaleesi did all seven seasons completely naked, I mean, I'd be in. You know what I mean? I'm there. Don't worry about it. Brandon, it's your turn. So you got your number three moment from the show, Brandon. What you got, brother?
All right. I'm going last season, season six, episode nine. Again, another episode nine. Mm-hmm. But the Battle of the Bastards, I don't know. You know, to this day, I don't think I've seen a battle like that, even in movies, you know. And I guess it's going to be another prick on the show. But Ramsay, you know, we couldn't wait to see him die.
Absolutely.
And Jon Snow is, you know, my love for Jon Snow. I love him like you love Daenerys.
I know.
You know, to see that battle and the way that was shot, but more specifically when they get surrounded by the Boltons.
Yep.
And they start moving, closing in on them with the shields and the spears. And then it's like, holy shit, they're going to fucking slaughter. Everyone's going to get slaughtered.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Jon Snow kind of retreats. He's getting trampled by everyone. I'm like, they just resurrected him. He's not, he can't die again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was just an intense scene where I literally was out of my, that's like when you say you're out of your seat watching something, I was out of my seat, literally like in the hallway of my living room trying to watch that episode. And then, of course, Littlefinger saved the day. Sweetheart that he is.
He did, yeah. Sansa and Littlefinger come into the rescue there.
The rescue.
Yeah, that was a moment. That was a great scene. That's on my honorable mentions. It almost was number five for me, but that is a great scene. You won't get an argument from me there. Battle of the Bastards. What do you think? Who do you think was most hated, Ramsay Bolton or Joffrey?
I think, personally, I hated Joffrey more, because you know why? I mean, Ramsay picked on people that I really didn't care about. Like, I don't care about Reek. I don't care about Sansa. But Joffrey fucked with like Tyrion. And he fucked with everyone. The Hounds. You know, he was a dick.
And Joffrey was a really privileged bully too. You know,
and he killed Ned Stark. So you know,
Yeah, that's true. All right, so where are we at? We got my number three, right? All right, so my number three is possibly, I would venture to say, and you guys are surprising me a little bit, so maybe not, but I was going to say this is probably the moment that's on all of our lists, but I could be wrong. However, my number three is from season three, episode nine, The Red Wedding episode from The Reigns of Castamere is the name of the episode, which is also the Lannister, I guess, fight song, or I don't know, whatever the term would be. It's their theme music for the Lannisters. But, you know, that song start playing, it's very ominous to begin with. Caitlin, of course, knows when she hears it that something's not really right. They're locking the doors behind her. That makes it even worse. You know, Robb Stark met his end on this episode in this scene. Arya's there with the Hound, and she's coming to actually warn them and save them, and she finds out she's too late. You know, she's just been suffering tragedy the whole show, and this is another, you know, notch on that belt. So it was a very... The Red Wedding to me was like a Who Shot JR moment from the 80s on Dallas. Like, it was like a moment on a TV show, whether you watched it or didn't watch it or didn't have HBO, it's like everybody was talking about The Red Wedding. Like, oh my God, this is the most pivotal moment of any drama series, you know. And I don't know if you guys were familiar in the 80s with, you know, the Who, you know, because they shot JR at the end of Dallas, and then right. And there was a cliffhanger for the whole season. You're like, what the fuck? And you never know who shot him because it was off screen, and it was a big, like, pop culture kind of phenomena. Like, news outlets were covering, like, who shot JR, and there was different theories, and you know, The Red Wedding had that same kind of impact across the country and really probably across the world. But was one of the biggest scenes from the show, in my opinion. It was obviously super depressing because it was a lot of great characters that we lost. But that's my number three, Red Wedding.
You're really connecting with the millennials there by going and talking about Dallas.
Thank you.
I think the viewership's going to go up huge. Hey,
I'm showing my age.
Fact, I grew up like 2 miles from South Fork Ranch.
I know you're from Texas. Yeah, I didn't know how close you were to that, but yeah. So you know
I was
about
like
Dallas.
Down the street.
Everybody's talking about Dallas where you're from, so you know that. So I connected with you there. All right, so that's my number three, The Red Wedding, and that brings us to our runner-ups. We're getting to the nitty-gritty here. Casey, you want to start us off with your number two Game of Thrones moment?
Yeah, number two is when Olenna Tyrell, season 7, episode 5, I think.
To go on, yeah.
When she was like, by the way, I killed her son. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God. It's great for the story, but it's also great because we never see older women have moments like that.
Right.
We always think of older women as being these like docile, like very like, you know, enlightened people. But like Olenna is such a badass.
Yeah, she is. And she's funny as shit too.
She's like still going down hustling, yeah. You know, she didn't just like go off to pasture, you know, like she's going down with a fight still.
Yeah.
Love that so much.
Yeah. That was such a gangster moment. I mean, she's just fucking thug life, you know, and what was cool. And I don't know if that's going to be on Brandon's or anything similar will be on Brandon's list. But between my list and what we've heard so far, I'll tell you what's cool about that scene, too, is there's like no action in it. It's completely it's just complete dialogue. She's just sitting at the table the whole time. Obviously, Jaime Lannister is a huge part of that show, too. So the two of them, it's just two people sitting in an empty room. And the impact that scene was able to have, I agree with you. I think that was a huge... A lot of people said that was one of the best, like... You know, because she's the one that died. But she got the last word there, you know? And even though she's the one that died, so...
Even leading up to that, well, before Jamie walks in the room, you know, just if you watch the trailers for season 7, you're like, there's going to be a big battle at Casterly Rock. It's going to be one of those, like, probably one of those big battle scenes that you see from previous seasons. And it just was Tyrion narrating the whole time about how, you know, what their plans were. And then you see Jamie and the Lannisters marching on Highgard, and it's like, what the fuck just happened? I didn't know what was going on at first. I'm like, what is going on here?
Right.
And I thought Olenna switched sides, and then you know, just that whole scene from the time they double crossed and then gave her the poison. That was a badass scene. I had that in my honorable mentions too.
Yeah,
it's really so like thinking like a producer from watching as a producer or whatever. I'm always fascinated because like. Money in general, like you cannot spend money on a battle every single episode, but to be able to do mostly scenes where it's two people talking and for us to get the same amount of excitement and jeopardy out of those scenes as we do the battle scenes, it's like every scene is a battle, but even if it's just between two people in a room, and it's cheap to produce. Like, kudos to the writers right. for being able to do that.
I agree. I mean, it was an amazing scene. Like I said, with no, I mean, all dialogue, no action.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon, what's your runner up? Your number two moment, brother.
But speaking of Olenna Tyrell, I think, Gerald, if you want to, maybe the Red Witch and Olenna, we can do a double date sometime.
Well, I'll do a three way with those guys.
All right.
I like when my two, I get a three way, the two women equal 200 years old. That's my goal. So,
right. Yeah.
Good. Go
good.
For it.
Hey, it could be a really good time. They've had a lot of
I got experience, you know?
They know.
I won't drink any wine around Olenna, that's for sure. But yeah.
I mean, they do have the Game of Thrones on Pornhub and stuff. So you might be able to maybe finagle a scene in there.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Good talk. So I'm on number two, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You're runner up.
See, so we haven't really crossed. I mean, none of us have really said the same scenes yet. So I'm going to say one that you just said. I don't know if you want me to pick something else. I was going to go Red Wedding number two.
No, go ahead. Yeah. Tell people why.
I think kind of already, you already defined it, but I mean, you know, it was, there's no scene like, and I know I have it at number two, but there's really no episode in the history of TV shows that really could, that tortured people like that. You know, at that point, Robb Stark is, you know, he's on his way to like winning every single battle. You're like, all right, good. He's going to avenge his father. He's going to go kill Joffrey. And then you got his pregnant wife there. She just told him that she's going to name the kid after Ned Stark. And then she comes over and he fucking stabs her in the stomach, right? And the baby. And it was just, and Walder Frey, talk about villains. I mean, another villain that he was only in a couple episodes and just he, you know, he really owned that villain role there as well. So,
yeah.
You know, just to see, because I remember after that scene, you're like, who's left? There's nobody
right,
left.
Right.
Like, I remember thinking that. I'm like, who are we going to root for now?
Right, right.
So it was definitely one of those episodes that I think, and, you know, even if you listen to the Game of Thrones directors, the producers there, you know, they say that whole scene, they couldn't wait to get to that. That was kind of the reason they wanted to make this show.
Yeah.
Was because of the Red Wedding.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
So, you know, that's when you're like, all right, anyone can die in the show. Anyone.
Absolutely. And when I told my wife we were doing this top five, one of her top fives was, or one of her moments is the revenge that Arya got against Frey in the opening sequence to this season. Because she said
I have mixed feelings about that.
She said that was kind of finally like vengeance for the Red Wedding in her mind. So, but yeah, yes.
I think they settled the score last season when she slit his throat and she made him eat her, you know, she baked his kids into the pie there that she gave him.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
I didn't feel like they needed to keep revisiting it.
Yeah. No, you're right. I forgot about that, but you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. My number two, right? Okay. So my number two is not really for plot or anything like that. In other words, this is a scene that could have been taken out of the series and it wouldn't have really changed anything. But I just remember being kind of like what you said, Brandon, when you were pacing during that one scene of Battle of the Bastards. But it was kind of like that for me, where I'm just like, oh, my God, this is so fucking intense. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And it's just like, oh, my God. But it was from season 4, episode 8, when the Mountain fought the Viper. The fight scene when the Mountain ends up crushing his skull at the very end there. You think the Viper has the upper hand and you think he won. He's there avenging his, remind me, Brandon, was it his sister? He's avenging his
sister, and her kids.
His sister and that the Mountain had presumably raped and beaten or something to that effect. Anyway, you see that he's getting his revenge and everybody thought he was the underdog. He was fighting on behalf of Tyrion. So here's another situation where you think Tyrion's not going to come out of this alive. There's no way he can. But he's still on the show. He's still there. So ultimately, the Viper loses. And the way he loses is the Mountain kind of gets a second wind and comes back to life and ends up crushing his skull with his bare hands. One of the most iconic scenes from the show where Twitter just fucking went crazy after that happened. And it's one of those kind of like fight scenes that, you know, definitely goes down as one of the most remembered because of the brutality of it. But I can't forget it. I can't get it out of my fucking mind. But that's my number two.
You didn't think anyone had a chance against the Mountain. And then he comes out with this like, you know, ninja shit. And he's fucking him up the whole time.
Right. And one of the things
you thought he had him and you thought Tyrion was going
to
be safe.
Right. Right. And one of the things I'm looking forward to on the show, and I hope they bring it around in the final season, is a Mountain versus Hound battle. I know everybody kind of wants to see those two guys face off, those two brothers. So I think that would be intense if they were able to write that in there somehow. But that's my number two. And that brings us to our number one, guys. We're pretty much on schedule. We're running a little long, but that's fine. You guys talk about whatever you want to talk about. So we're going to do our number one Game of Thrones moment. And we're going to start with my queen, Queen Khaleesi. So hopefully it's about Khaleesi, but no pressure. But what's your number one scene from Game of Thrones?
Zombie dragon.
Really?
Seven, episode six.
Okay.
Plot twist.
I don't know whether it's because I feel like kindred hearts with Khaleesi, but like I love the dragon so much.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
When he was injured the first time, I like was tearing up. Mm-hmm. I didn't want him to die, right. And then this one, it's like my baby died, and now he's an evil zombie right. dragon, and I'm so worried about him.
Right. Right.
So I just don't know how they're going to defeat that, and I want him to be redeemed and come back to the light, but I don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, you know, a lot of people are kind of turning team White Walker, which surprised me. A lot of people are kind of wanting the show to end with them, with the White Walkers fucking killing everybody, so I don't know.
No!
But now that they have the dragon and everything, and I don't know. But
they have to come out with something. I mean, maybe the dragons battle each other, and then they're battling their brother. It's just like, and Khaleesi too, I feel like it's going to be a complex because it's like, even though you're a zombie, you're still my child.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, no, they'll definitely play into that too. Yeah, she won't want to attack it because it's her pet or whatever. No, yeah, absolutely.
Her child.
All right, so what do we got for Brandon? You got anything you want to say about that?
That brings up a good question, Gerald. If I was turned into an ice a White Walker,
yes.
would you kill me?
What would you do? I don't know. Would you be more Night King or kind of like stupid White Walker? I don't know. If you were Night King, I'd keep you around because, I don't know, I feel like we could have some banter. But if you were just a zombie wandering around, I'd probably fucking take you out, brother.
Yeah. All right. That's understandable. Yeah. I mean, good answer.
I'd still love you, but I don't know.
Yeah.
what's your runner-up there, bud?
My runner-up? I went on number one?
I mean, number one. I'm sorry. What's your number one? Number one.
All right. Well, this is a big moment. This was there's only one moment that can be above the Red Wedding for me, and you know, I have to admit, aside from Gerald, I do have another man crush, and it's Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. So we kind of alluded to this earlier. You know, when Jon Snow was killed at the last episode of season five by the his brothers in the Night Watch, I was very emotional. I was very upset. I was like, no. Because first of all, you get through the episode and, you know, you're almost through the whole season. You get through the episode. You see Cersei doing the walk of shame. I'm like, all right, it's, you know, 9:58. This episode's over. And I'm like, Jon Snow's going to make it to next season. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they, you know, they flash to, you know, the wall. And then Jon Snow gets betrayed by his boys. And you know, I think we talk a lot about villains. We talk about Joffrey and Ramsay and Walder Frey, but the true villain, not the Night King, the true villain in Game of Thrones is that little bastard Ollie. Mm. The little fuck who stabbed Jon Snow after he took him in and, you know, he took him as his steward. And
that's true.
He betrayed him, man. And that was the scene that turned me into a Game of Thrones detective. I immediately started scouring the internet for clues. Yeah. I almost started reading the books after that. I was literally looking for anything I could find that would hint to Jon Snow being alive.
Yeah.
And it really it affected my life. It took over.
Can I ask you, as the seasons have gone on, why are you still a huge fan of Jon Snow?
Why?
I have fallen out of love with Jon Snow.
This is not going to go well. Well, how can you fall in love with Jon Snow? He's so noble. He does everything right.
I've never been a big fan of his.
He does everything
because, like, I appreciate those people in real life, but maybe it's just his acting or something. It's just not changing. Like his demeanor and his temperament through every single scene is the same. And I'm like, even in this like love relationship with Khaleesi, I'm just like, this is not affecting you at all. Like, you are not overcome with passion. You're just like even killed through this whole thing.
I could see that. I could see that. He kind of is very, very even tempered regardless of what's going on.
His eyebrows are just always like this. And he's just very like, I mean,
Gerald, I'm signing off.
He does the right thing, even though it's tough. Like, and in that moment where he's like, "My queen is still Khaleesi,"
but Brandon, or whatever,
and everyone's like, "Well, John."
Brandon,
like,
you love him because he's noble and because he always does the right thing.
Yeah.
There you go. There it is. There it is.
Listen. He does the right thing. He's the hero when no one else will be. He's got great shot of his buns there, and then the last scene ship. I mean, what else could you say? First of all, you're gonna be disappointed because he is gonna win this Game of Thrones. He's the rightful heir to the throne. Khaleesi is going to be very upset when she finds that out next season. And
yeah, but if he's dead, then he's not. He can't be the heir.
He's not killed. He's alive.
He's alive now.
Obviously, right? Isn't she going to get pregnant from this? And then maybe the baby rules.
That's pretty obvious. I feel like they just made a baby.
They did.
Yeah. What'd be really fucked up is like, what if she gives birth to the baby and it comes out as a White Walker? That'd be a plot twist, and then it's the end of the show.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the show just ends. They're like, what the fuck is that? Okay, we're running over time, so let me give everybody, did you give your number one, Brandon? I can't remember.
That was it, Jon Snow.
That's right. I thought you were just talking about your affinity for Jon Snow. I forgot the fucking scene.
Well, it's kind of, yeah.
All right. So my number one is, Daenerys. You already mentioned it, Casey, but season one, episode 10, Fire and Blood, when Dany births her dragons and emerges from the fire. The body of her husband, called Drago. There, I also love Drago. By the way, one of my favorite characters.
My favorite.
But yeah, that's, you already kind of alluded to it. But I feel like this was the start of her, as Khaleesi, as opposed to this woman that was second class leading up to that moment. And when she comes out of the fire and she had the eggs have hatched and these dragons are clinging to her and she's naked, which didn't hurt the scene either. But you can kind of see,
poetic.
Yeah, very poetic. That's how what I thought when I saw it. Everybody's kneeling to her, and that's the first moment when you can kind of see, like, okay, this is the mother of dragons, which is what she comes to be known as amongst 12 other monikers as well. So that's my number one. Anybody that knows me, it's no shock that Khaleesi is the reason that I'm into the show as much as I am. She's my favorite character. I love Emilia Clarke that plays her. I love just everything they've done with, because also if you think back, I don't even know what the time stamp on this show is supposed to be, but if you think back, you wouldn't think a woman would be in the mix ruling with all these Baratheons and, all these kind of kings and whatnot. And here she is just fucking shit up because she has these dragons behind her. And,
Two women, Cersei. It's really Cersei, like Cersei versus Daenerys right now, which is crazy.
Yep. I agree. So that's my number one. When Dany gives birth to her dragons and emerges from the fire there in the first season, which was the finale episode of that season. So I wonder real quick, if we didn't mention any episodes or scenes that did not get mentioned and you have them as honorable mentions, let's go around the horn and see what you got there. Brandon, did you have any honorables that we didn't talk about today?
We're going out of order now. You want me to go?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go
ahead.
So again, another one that was, just one of those moments where you're like, this is tough to watch. But when the Princess Shireen gets burned by Melisandre.
Yeah, that was
And then Stannis just lets it happen. And he sits there and watches her burn. Just the hearing her scream, they didn't have to show it. Just hearing her scream in the background. That was like, it was tough to watch.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Because there's no one more pure on the show than her. There's so many... there's so many people that have different sides of them, and some people are villains and all of a sudden they're heroes. And, she's just probably the most pure of all the characters ever on the show. And
that was brutal.
That was a tough way to go.
And there was a lot of backlash for that scene and for Sansa's rape scene, too, from like just people in the public eye that were just like, I can't believe they, did that or whatever. But you got to think to the authenticity and the brutality of that. That show is a brutal show. nobody's going to be fucking surprised. To me, I'm not surprised by anything that happens on that show. But there was a huge backlash from that because, like you said, it's just tough to watch and tough to get through. But definitely a very memorable scene there. You got any other honorables, or do we talk about them all?
No, I have a few. You want me to give me a couple more?
Yeah, just fly through them real quick.
In the last season, last episode, when Cersei, they get that awesome piano music playing, and Cersei blows up the Sept of the Wailer. That was a badass scene because as much you can hate Cersei as much as you want, but plays Game of Thrones better than she does. And she, the chips were down and, I was like, where's she going to go from here? And then all of a sudden she blew up all of her enemies all at once.
I agree. That was intense.
That was just a really cool scene. And then, you know, our son jumped out the window, but, you know.
Was that in the same in the same episode when Toman went out and fell out the window? Or was that
it was the next scene.
Say it again.
Case. Oh, I thought it was, I thought that's kind of what made her do it. I'm remembering that wrong.
Yeah. No, he jumped out because Marjorie was in there. That's who he was. Yeah. So he was upset.
Yeah.
He kept him in the room so he wouldn't go there to the trial. Yeah. The mountain kept him in the room.
Yep.
That's
yep.
Right.
And then they jumped out the window.
Miss Khaleesi, you got any honorable mentions there we didn't touch on?
I just want to talk about Brienne and Tormund and their love story.
Yeah, that's great.
How awesome that is.
It's great. It's there. I agree. She's a great character too. I love her on that show.
It was an accident, but like, you know, when people are just like, there's so many scenes where people are just like walking and talking, like, cause they're walking to a battle or whatever.
Right.
And it's so human and so relatable for us to like have crushes on each other and to talk about it when you're like chilling and walking places. And I just love that he loves her.
Yeah.
And
he's like brings her up so when he's walking crazy. Around. Yeah, no, that's true. He just had that one.
I don't think they've ever even spoken a word to each other. It's just the looks they give.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so great.
And her sword battle with Arya this season was pretty cool too. That was a good scene. Okay, well, honorable mentions for me that we didn't. I'm surprised we didn't. At least one of us did not mention. But when Joffrey died, you mentioned that she took credit for it. But when it actually happened, which is the episode referred to as a purple wedding, when he loses his life, because like Brandon said, everybody fucking hated him and couldn't wait for him to die. And then to me, the scene that really set the tone for what we were talking about with Martin, how he'll just kill fucking anybody, is when Ned Stark was beheaded. When that happened, when I saw that, which also Brandon, I believe, was in episode 9, if I'm not mistaken. So another number 9. But when he was beheaded, I got to be honest, I'm looking at my wife. I remember back to when we watched that and I'm thinking it's a dream. I'm like, they're going to come back episode 10. It's going to be one of those things where they like have a flashback and it like didn't really happen. Like that's how
girls like I've seen Dallas. I know JR was a dream.
Right.
I know what's happening there.
Exactly. But seriously, like it was one of those scenes where I was like, it was so unbelievable to me. Like I couldn't believe they would kill. Because in season one, you can say whatever you want to say, but Ned Stark was like the on screen more than anybody else. I mean, he was the character in that first season. So and everything kind of revolved around him in some way. So for them to take him out, I mean, and of course they had to. You see, to set up a lot of stuff that we see later in the show. But that was a very big scene for me, and that was the first one where I was like, holy shit, like this show don't give a fuck. Zero fucks. Okay, that's it. That's our top five Game of Thrones moments. Casey Spivey, why don't you tell everybody where, because I know you talked about the Game of Thrones musical, but tell everybody where they can follow you on social media and everything so they can hit you up there.
Yeah, so I'm on all the social medias as at Hey, H-E-Y underscore Case, K-A-C-E, like Ace, but with a K in front of it. You can read articles that I'm writing. You can see videos that I'm doing. You can get information for tickets to Game of Thrones, and hopefully I'll be doing a giveaway soon. So,
yeah,
lots of fun stuff over there, and I love talking to people on social media, so feel free to reach out and say
It'd be awesome if I get to come out there and talk my wife into it. We can meet in person and it'd be great, and obviously I want to see the Game of Thrones musical, so that'd be great. But good,
you would really like it.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So good luck with all that, and let's stay in touch online and everything leading up to that. I wish you the best, Brandon. I would tell people what you're doing, but I don't think you're doing anything, right? Are you?
No. I just rewatch Game of Thrones all day.
You just watch Game of Thrones, and you have you're editing together your Jon Snow montage, your love story to him that you're going to release.
I am. It's true.
And I also meant to tell you, since you're my Boston guy, I'm going to have you back for the top five Goodwill Hunting moments. I'll have you back for that, and you can do that.
How about just top five, you know, top five Boston movies?
We could do that, actually. There's some good ones out there. Yeah, Ben Affleck moments. We could do that. We could do Boston movies because there's a bunch of good ones. Well, that's it. I want to really thank, in all seriousness, Brandon, my buddy. Anytime I get to talk to you, it's great, man. And I'm glad we got to talk about Game of Thrones today. And I appreciate you wanting to do that. And then Miss Casey Spivey, I hope everybody looks you up online. And best of luck to you in Game of Thrones, the musical, when it goes out there on the East Coast.
Thank you very much.
All right, you guys are great. That was our top five Game of Thrones moments. Until next time, this is Gerald from 2Ps on a Podcast. Look us up on 2psonapod.com. And go to our contact page. You can subscribe there and rate and review us and do all that stuff. And you can follow us on Twitter at 2PsOnApod. That's all I got. So for Casey Spivey and my buddy Brandon out there in Boston, we appreciate it. That was bonus episode number 6, 2Ps on a Pod. You guys be good. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.